I'll say a little bit about myself because I am very active in my church and on different levels. I'm the president of East Washington and Idaho Synod for the Lutheran Youth Organization, and I was just recently elected the National Asian Youth Chair for the ELCA. And so I am very involved, but that could have not been the case if I wasn't given a chance to be involved and given encouragement. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to tell you a little about my experiences and my things that I'm involved in. I'm involved in the youth ministry, and we have the Region 1, which is Alaska, Washington, Idaho, Montana, and Oregon, put on a leadership training school every year. Hi, come on in. And this is a manual that we use. Let's look at that. And it encourages leadership skills being developed and how to basically get also in touch with yourself as through spiritual means. And it's a very, very good program that we do. And it's expanded so much that now, instead of having one for each, just once a year, we have them now for every synod, so we're going to have six leadership training schools. And we have, the way it's broken down is we have leadership training one, which is the people who come for their first year, and then the people who want to come back again. It's called leadership training school, and they come a day early, and they are basically taught to lead the leadership training school people for the first year. So it's kind of comes full circle, and then it's just really a good thing. And the reason, and the way that they are chosen for this leadership training school is that the congregation picks out three youth who think, who are apparently very active in their church youth group and are showing some leadership skills. And they give them a full ride to attend this leadership training school. It's like not usually very expensive. It's our next dates are going to be, for my particular synod, which is East Washington and Idaho, is going to be sometime in July, and it's going to be 5 days. And it's like $80, which is pretty good. And all your room and board is provided, and you get a lot of really good experiences. And so if you know any people, push that. And I have here, the Region 1 also puts out newsletters for the youth. This is the most recent one. And these are the ones from, I guess, two years ago. And it gives a lot of information in there. It has a pull-out section where it's servant event projects, which we try to encourage a lot. It's...
what project?
Servant event. It's really like Habitat for Humanity. And there's some video resources in there also. And it has the officers' names for Region 1 and the key resource people. So it really is a vital aspect of our ministry, is this newsletter. And I know that my particular synod has been trying to get their own synodical newsletter, but it really hasn't gotten off the ground yet. So, because of finances. Yeah, see, the way our synod, I'm going to draw this diagram. The youth organization, basically, it's kind of a food chain thing. Down here is the congregation, which is probably the most important thing. And above that is your cluster. And in my particular synod, there are 8 clusters, depending on which geographical region you come from. And above that is your synod. Above that is a region.
and I believe there are 9 regions. And Babette is a LYO, a national LYO, which is a Lutheran youth organization. And but probably I think the most important one is this one right here, because you can't make any changes unless it starts with yourself and with your congregation. And that's really pertinent. And this is a textbook that I think would be really good to encourage youth involvement in your church on the congregational level. It gives steps on how to build your group, build your youth group through small groups and sharing and just basically problem solving with each other's lives. And it's a really good book. And I strongly recommend it.
Who does it?
Oh, yes, yeah, it's done by Serendipity. It's, yeah, I guess
who is, can I ask, this might be a weird question, but who is Serendipity? I keep hearing about them. What exactly?
Serendipity
College. What is it?
Colorado. I don't know.
Yeah, I.
Is it a publishing house or is it more than that?
They do.
I think it's the same person who writes the Serendipity books.
Because they did a thing here this summer with the youth, the May Youth Weekends.
I was doing that.
Gave out the Serendipity Bibles.
And this is the same, this is by the same...
Encyclopedia, I don't know. In
Colorado. It's a publishing company, or it's just a company, which is geared towards youth.
800 number.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really good book. They have them for sale in the bookstore right now.
Okay.
And of course, there are many different aspects on the congregational level. Like in my particular church, there are, we have a group that's from the first through third graders, and then the fourth through sixth, and then the confirmations and the ninth and the high school. And probably altogether, we have 150 youth. But I'm the only person who comes to church. One thing that we did for Vacation Bible School and Vacation Church was, I'm not sure if you're aware of the Pelican Project.
No, say it again.
The Pelican Project. Yeah, they have, I saw one in the Narnia schoolhouse, a Pelican puppet. And what it is it encourages servanthood towards early elementary school children. And it was kind of an intergenerational exercise between the high schoolers and then the first graders and the four-year-olds. And it was just a really good thing. And what it talked about was giving money to the people in Bangladesh who need things through the Global Missions Office. And I guess for $15 they could buy a water pump, and for $1 they could buy a tree. And we raised $75 in 1 week, which I thought was really good, because I'll pass these around again. Because our Vacation Bible School is almost prohibited to ask for any sort of contribution or any sort of money thing. So I had to send out a personal newsletter to the parents saying, this is through church-wide, this is okay. Yeah, and it was just, it was funny because I was just like playing along, because they have like music books and they have a videotape and they have textbooks and they have like this full curriculum for like 1 or 2 years if you really wanted to get involved in it. And the kids, they would like scream, we want Pelle, through the entire VBS, because they wanted to go to music so badly and just see Pelle can. And I had 3 or 4 in my house, because I'm the president and I was supposed to distribute them to the congregations that wanted them. But I had just gotten them. So I had them in my house, and so I just told them to like use 3 or 4, and it worked really well, I think, because they're having like dialogues between the Pellies, and one could be a little bit boring, but they are expensive. They're like $40 for the puppet.
Can anybody buy them?
Yes. I don't have the information with me right now. I was looking for it, but it's a man named Bob Seitz. Where is he now? In a church-wide office.
So what kind of scenarios that are puppets used in, like for example?
Well, they could be used for your Sunday school classes in place of music or just place of just general curriculum, because I found that this is a lot better curriculum than a particular congregation was using. Because it was encouraging stewardship and it was encouraging environmentally safe.
That was to the Global Missions Office.
Are they for a certain age, up to a certain age, or really?
Well,
like, could one use them in scenarios in teaching sexuality?
Sure, whatever. Yeah, it's pretty much open-ended. Like, they have a curriculum, but you don't necessarily have to buy it. It comes separate from the puppet. So it can be used in anything. It's a really good project. And another thing is, on the congregational level, a curriculum for high school Sunday school. I know at my church, it was very poor. It was very poor because they basically repeated the same stuff from kindergarten up through high school. So you didn't really want to go anymore. So this is really good. This is a really good source.
Is there a confirmation source for this kind of stuff?
Yes, this is, you can get this booklet for any age. For any age. This one just happened to be for high school.
But do they have a program?
I don't know. I don't know. But I know that we need one. Because my congregational program confirmation program was pretty sad. And then also on your congregational youth level for high school, you can go on these servant projects, and it's broken down by regions, and there's 9 regions. And this is an older one, I think, it's 1 year old. And then they have all the regions, and then they have international ones. But some of these fill up so quickly that you have to call up immediately. Like, I know the ones in Tijuana, Mexico, the Habitat for Humanity, and also the one I think it's called Rain Skunk Grass and Cab. No, Skunks and Crabgrass or something. It's in Alaska, and you teach Bible study to the Eskimos in the islands. And you go in there by water plane. You kind of are there for, like, I don't know, however long you want to be, and it's just a really neat experience. But I haven't gone to any of those yet. I really wanted to. Then the question arises, what happens in your congregation once the youth have graduated from high school, and there's no longer a group for them? So the church-wide office came up with this idea. It's called LEAD. And what it does is it sponsors people who want to become basically youth resource people, and they're trained. And I believe each synod got $2,000 to train the people who are interested. And I have not seen a lot of this done. And it really needs to be done, because I just graduated from high school, and it's like, well, what do I do now? Here are some more Sunday school curriculum. I don't know if there's any confirmation sources in there. And this is the same thing as LEAP, this basic congregational youth ministry consultants, only that this is only for Region 1. This is only for Region 1. And I believe it's a little bit more organized than LEAP, because it's more local. And I don't believe there is any really selection process like there is for LEAP. So this is another alternative. You guys can just each take one if you wanted to. So there's six.
Is two extra copies?
What?
Is Russia extra copies?
Oh, yeah, just go ahead and take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll pass it on for now.
Oh, yeah, so just tell me after you're done. Yeah. And oh, here's a folder for me. Yeah.
Wait.
Yeah. And then on the next level is a cluster. And for my synod, there's seven or eight clusters. And there should be cluster events, but there aren't. There aren't. So when you have cluster events, then you have a stronger base for a synod event. And so, like, basically what we're doing right now is we're jumping straight from the congregation to the synod without any middle. And we could be getting a lot more involvement than we are now if we had this middle level. Because at our last synod convention, we had, I think, almost 300 people. And that's pretty good for us because our synod is 18 hours drive from one end to the other. So actually, we even have a congregation in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. So it really is spread out. So, and also it was a really bad weekend. Well, they're always on Thanksgiving weekend. And this time there was like two feet of snow. People were trying to drive through with the passes, and it just wasn't working very well. So.
Now, where was this?
It was in Yakima.
Oh, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah, Bryce and Charles went.
Yeah, yeah.
And they made the video for it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And then on the next level is a synod level. And, I passed out that leadership training school. And this is also a draft outline of a multicultural strategy for synods. And this is for the Hispanic Ministry Task Group for this particular synod. And feel free to take anything that you want here. I have copies of everything. And one of my main goals has been to encourage multicultural youth to become part of the Lutheran Church. And one way that we have it is that there's a president, vice president, a secretary, a treasurer, and then it's called a multicultural inclusivity rep. And up to this point, all those multicultural inclusivity reps have been volunteered and blue-eyed. And so, we really need some new blood. And so what her job has basically been for the past 2 years is she's been going through this list of all the congregations in our synod and been trying to contact all the multicultural people here who are youth. And that hasn't been working as well as it could because I know that they kind of feel afraid of a 98.6% white church. Do you guys have any questions so far?
These high adventure camps?
Yes.
Those are the ones that you're mentioning that fill up quick?
No, not necessarily. Well, they do, usually. Mm-hmm. But a lot of the other ones do, too. Because I know that a lot of church youth groups would feel it was really fun to go on a white water mm-hmm. rafting trip or go rock climbing or whatever else is there. So they do fill up quickly. But those are really good projects for youth to encourage stewardship and servanthood in their lives. And then on the regional level, we've been trying really hard to include people of multicultural backgrounds, but we're wondering if we really are achieving what we set out to do. And it really is too bad because we're missing out on a lot of the gifts and resources that we could be developing and gaining on if we would involve them. And
are you aware, and is there, when you go to these or are involved in how process is set up, is there a real sensitivity to the fact that many people of multicultural background come from their own traditions, and the traditions might only be one generation back, if that even, but that that's an important thing to respect, and
yes.
I mean, is that built into these kind of things?
I've tried many times to like just have like maybe even like an international dinner just for like one night,
mm-hmm.
and people just like throw it up in the air, they just don't want to have anything to do because they are, well, the majority of the people who go to those conventions are very, very white, and so they don't really feel the point of, see the point of including people, you know, just like a very, very small number of people who have a culture that is ingrained in them. So I've tried, I really have tried, and I think I've been a little bit, but I wish I could have done more.
Where do you see it working? Is there anywhere in the region that you see it working? Or in the country, not just the
uh-huh.
region, but is there anywhere where you see the multicultural thing working?
Actually, our region,
mm-hmm.
Region 1, is by far ahead of everyone else. By far. Because I've gone to conventions and national conventions representing mm-hmm. the Synod, and a lot of these synods, I mean, a lot of these regions don't even have, like, regional conventions yet.
Hmm.
And we've been having them since, like, 87, I think. So, but they do have a larger number of multicultural sources to draw upon there. Because, like, back east, and there are a large number of people from different backgrounds, but they just aren't using them, and we aren't using them. I mean, we're all to blame.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the church may start to die out a little bit more than it already is
mm-hmm.
if we don't start including people of all races. Like, I went to a convention just probably less than a month ago, and they said that our church is decreasing the number by like 20%. And the Catholic Church has increased by 30%, which I was really shocked.
Has increased or decreased?
Our church?
Our church by 20%.
The Catholic Church increased by 30%.
Oh, increased by 30%.
That's what I thought. Increased Catholics? And then the Mormon Church has like increased by 80% in like 10 years or 20, at least 10 or 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
But the number one was the Muslims. And they've increased 280%. And that's simply because it's more, I think, exciting to be a Muslim than it is to be a Christian in this country at this particular time. And we aren't really reaching out for them because I know like the Muslims, they're out there and they want to include everyone. And they're not afraid to like go out and share what they believe. And coming from like a strong Norwegian backgrounds and German backgrounds, we don't really feel like we want to go out there and just push God to a certain extent. Well, a lot of people don't. I'm not saying you don't, but yeah. And so the region sponsors probably, I don't know how many events, but like this year on the regional level, we had a leadership training school, LTS. And then we had every other year we have a regional convention. So they have a regional convention. And this next year is going to be in Portland over Thanksgiving weekend. And then we also have a thing. That's basically it, actually. But they do a lot of they're really involved. They're just really involved. But then on the LYO level, like this
Yeah, we had a Western States Convention, and that was held in Missoula, Montana, and that was Region 1 and Region 2. And this next coming summer, there's going to be a national convention held in Atlanta, and that happens every 3 years. So there's a Western States Convention, the next year there's a national convention, and then there's a year off. And at the national convention, there are two events that happen prior to the event. And the first one is called Mile. The second one is called Veil. And Mile is a multicultural youth leadership event, and Dale is a differently abled youth leadership event. And these are really good things. I went to Mile last time, and it was just incredible. Basically, all the youth, I mean, there were people there from like Guam and Puerto Rico and everywhere, Eskimos and Native Americans. And they were just basically sharing their culture and just reveling in it. And it was just extraordinary experience. And then for Dale, well, for a while there was like 800 people there. And our last national convention held in Dallas, we had 28,000 people. So you can kind of see how off balance, you know, the church is. And then Dale, this is not really well known, because I know that a lot of differently abled people don't feel like they can come to church because they aren't, their needs aren't facilitated for. Like they don't have wheelchair access, or they don't have like sign language, or they don't have a lot of things. And so Dale, I think, had like 20 people last time, but they're hoping for 50 this time. So if you know anyone, encourage them to go to both, I mean to either. And they usually last for 4 days, and they're only like $40 each.
Where was Dale held this year?
Dale's going to be held next year in Atlanta, also with Mile, at the same time as Mile.
Oh, they do them at the same time?
Yes. No, well, see, Mile and Dale happen at the same time, and that's before the convention, mm-hmm. the national one. And then there's like, then they go straight to the national convention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I know that a lot of people from Mile, they didn't, well, they felt kind of insecure because here they were, they had been all these friends and at the Mile convention, and they were just like thrown to this huge 28,000 people convention. So they had a billboard where you could like talk and leave messages for the other people in the convention and just communicate basically. And it was a really good thing. And then like Matt and Mile, they have a board. A national board is called MAC. It's a multicultural advisory committee, and that's advisory to this committee. I think there's also a Dale committee. I'm not sure though. But our former secretary from my synod, she was Korean, and she was elected for the Asian female position, but she resigned. So, also. I know that Bryce attended Evergreen Youth Television.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great opportunity. What it is, well, this is a new, because the ELCA has a goal of 10% inclusivity in our church, and this is kind of their mission guide. It has a lot of resources and a lot of bibliographies, and so I'll just pass this around.
Do they have any statements about gay lesbian?
Yes.
You know, we've had a lot of talk about that because a lot of people are pushing the gay and lesbians to be part of either Mile or Dale. Because Mile, I mean, it is a different culture, and they are different than a lot of other people. And Dale, well, not really as much as Dale, as they're multicultural. So there has been a push to include the gay and lesbian movement into the Mile. And whether or not that will happen, I'm not sure, but they're going to have this huge debate over it at the next convention.
In Portland or Atlanta?
In Atlanta, because that's basically where all... Atlanta, a lot of the national business, youth business gets done there because they send 6 delegates from each synod and they vote on a lot of stuff and they elect new officers. And last time
they didn't really talk about it that much. About the South African crisis, you know, how like no one wanted to support their oil or their gold anymore because of apartheid. And they felt that our church had a lot of investment in South Africa. So there's a lot of that. And also there was a lot with the Mile. But I know for a fact that Bishop Chilstrom, he's overall bishop, he is really kind of gung-ho towards gay and lesbian rights.
He is?
Yeah, actually he is. Last thing he told us.
So. Well, I mean, I don't know. It just shocks me that he...
I know.
Had you heard that?
I haven't heard it quite put that way, but I have wondered. You know, he has a son who committed suicide at college, and I have heard... I don't know, I even hesitate to say it, but it could be that sexual orientation was part of the difficulty of that young fellow's journey. Mm-hmm. And if Chilstrom is finally understanding that, he might be shifting gears a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that for sure. I haven't heard it stated so positively.
Well, he basically said that he was going to try a lot harder to include people of different social economic level and different sexual orientations. Mm-hmm. And he kind of stressed those two a lot, so I know that that'll be a major part of the discussions that are held on in Atlanta, which I think is great. I think they should be included.
I would think that there would be enough gay and lesbian people to have their own, you know, because you mix, I don't know how to put it, if you mix them up with either one of those other groups, it takes away from the focus.
Mm-hmm. What does MYLE stand for?
Multicultural Youth Leadership Event. And this could be another thing, but I don't know if a lot of teenagers, high schoolers, would be brave enough to like tell people of their sexual orientation and like attend a conference. Mm-hmm. Well, attending the conference I don't think would bother them, but just getting there would be a problem.
Yeah.
Well, in the process, true. I mean, you can be so new to understanding that at that age that you don't know.
And they're not really sure, you know.
But if it got going, if it happened, if it was real, then they're, you know.
If I had anything to say about it, I'd rather it were under the Mile category than the
Mile. Yeah, it's closer.
It's as you said. Culture, in a very positive sense.
I'm not knocking it or anything.
But it seems like something that would not take hold until they were 18, 19, on up. It would seem to me, I don't know, I'm not an expert on it, but it just, I don't know, sexually.
It varies so much from, I guess, when you talk with gay lesbian people. I mean, there are some people who say, I knew when I was 4 years old, or knew when I was six, that, you know, they maybe didn't know how to name it or how to talk about it or have the words, but knew. Then other people who say, I really didn't look it in the eye till I was 13, 14, or the first couple of years of college. That's the other jump. Mm-hmm. And so it varies. But there do seem to be these clumpings. And when I think about human sexuality and how we grow into that age 4 and age 8 and 9, those even before 12, I mean, certain hormonal, chemical things are going on pretty profoundly in those ages. And even though kids don't know what it is, something's happening at that point. And, It is hard because every time it gets talked about with kids at an early age, all the red flags go up among parents because they think you're going to talk their kids into something, or you know they're going to get exposed to something that's a bad thing, and then so adults get scared. And, so I think that's where it gets real hard to talk about in the church for younger kids.
Well, I went to the Council of Synod Youth Presidents. It's held every year. I guess I can pass this around. And one of our biggest discussions was over gay and lesbian rights. And we like
basically yelled at each other. No, it was so bad. We like yelled at each other for like 2 hours nonstop. People were crying. People were like throwing themselves in like frenzies, and I don't even remember what was really on. I didn't think it was that. Oh, I don't know what it was. It was if you wanted, if there was a little box on the registration that said if you wouldn't mind having a roommate who was gay or lesbian. One side said that, well, you know, I wouldn't really care because they wouldn't try to make a move on me if I wasn't gay or lesbian. And the other side was like, no, you know, that's, why should we even discriminate and just everyone be together? And so it was a discussion. And finally it passed. And everyone was like totally drained because we had been fighting so hard. And it barely passed. It was like we had a division of the house over and over and recount over and over. And it was a really tough one. In fact, we have a new pastor for our congregation. We haven't had one for 2 years now. And I was at, well, our church kind of had a question and answer session with him. And everyone was asking him, like, well, what do you think about having coffee breaks on Sundays and all this stuff? And then the person before me asked, well, how do you feel towards, he had said that he always knew that he was meant to be a pastor. He always knew it. And so it was never really a question. It was just a matter of time and a matter of acceptance for that. So I asked him, I know that you said that you've always felt compelled to be in the ministry. What would you say if that person happened to be gay or lesbian? And it really stumped him. It really stumped him. And he said it was the hardest question he's ever been asked in his life. I mean, for like this whole church, it was like 11, no, it's probably like 1,500 members, and I asked him that question. He was like, but I asked it, and he was like, he gave an honest answer. He really did. It was, he's young, pretty young. He's like 30, well, late 30s. And when I see new people like that who want to make a difference and include more people, it really makes me optimistic about the church, that we are trying to include everyone, no matter what. Because we're all the same to God. So, it needs to be done. That is my little spiel. And then, also, I'm a part of the Association of Asians. I just came back from that convention. It was held in California, and there was only two youth there who were 18 or under. They were 15 at the time. And I kind of made a point, because I was nominated for a national position, and I kind of made a point of bringing that up and saying how important youth ministry is. And so they changed the constitution to let people who are youth into that. And so I have an application here. If any of you know anyone who's Asian and would like to get involved in your youth, I mean youth meaning probably like 25 and under. So, yeah. Oh, but getting back to Evergreen Youth Television is a program that teaches youth how to direct and produce their own films and videos for the church. And they're taught by top people in their field. And I know that Dave Ellingson, he's a Region 1 youth ministry person. He's been talking to Ted Turner about getting Evergreen involved with CNN. So it's expanding. It really is. And it's usually for a month, and it's probably in July. And it is rather expensive. It's like $300 or $280. But I think it's worth it because then they're resource people for not only their city, but their region and the nation, because there's a set number of people who can get in. And there is
not really preference, but encouragement for multicultural youth and differently abled youth to apply because they would like to involve them more. So, but you have, well, like when talking about multicultural youth, talking about multicultural youth, I've heard from so many people that you shouldn't say, I don't see you as, say, a Native American, I see you as a human being, because they kind of take it, because they want to be rich in their culture, and they want to be accepted for who they are rather than just like a colorless human being. They want to live their culture, and so you have to be careful when you say that. I just thought I'd bring it up, because I never really knew that. Because I don't look Asian. So.
Are you 100% Asian?
No, I'm half. I'm half Japanese. Yeah, my mother's American. So. Yeah, and so one thing that I could give you a suggestion on is just go out there and try to involve everyone, like in your own congregations, like try to push for like inclusivity of all ages and of all different cultures. Maybe have an international dinner or just have like an awareness thing. A drive. Do you guys have any questions? Any small discussion on how you're going to do this? And we can talk a little bit more about the gay and lesbian rights. So important.
I guess I had a side question on, you mentioned the youth group at your church, it was really fairly large, 150 kids. What were the components that made that real successful?
Actually, we just hired a youth pastor. We had one 2 years ago, but then he went to Taiwan to become a missionary. And so we finally got one, and our youth group grew from like 8 people in our high school group into like 30. Probably within 6 months, not even 6 months. He's been here since, maybe 6 months. He's been here since like March. So it's really been positive.
Has that drawn in people that haven't been in a Lutheran tradition?
Yes.
Yes. Sort of where the action is in the community kind of thing or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it is by word of mouth. Mm-hmm. So I remember when we used to have, his name was Steve Wright, we used to have him and, go ahead and take that. He was, it was like the happening place to be.
Yeah.
It was that church youth group because it was really nice. It was like 30, 40, 50 people coming each Sunday. Mm-hmm. And then like it went down to like 6, 8 for a couple of years and it's back up.
Well, what made it work?
Well, Bill, his name is Bill Haynes. He was a person who actually coordinated the Yakima Convention. And one thing that I think is that he's not married. He's 35, but he isn't married. And so he puts almost all of his time and energy into youth ministry. And he thought it was impertinent. It just needs to be done. And another thing is he's kind of one of the kids.
Mm-hmm. He's a fun person. And
yeah,
organized last
he is kind of conservative, not really conservative, but yet he's like really laid back and he'll listen. He's like, just kind of hang with us, and and also our youth budget. See, our church budget, my church is really large. It has like 1,500 members in it. We have a budget, a yearly annual thing of like $340,000, and that includes salaries. Or actually, that includes salaries now for for one pastor. And one youth person, and one lay person, mm-hmm. one associate minister. And we used to have like 5 pastors, full pastors. And so, but even then, the youth were getting like under $1,000, which is like not even 1%. That is like minimal.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to get money for the youth board to sponsor the youth to go down to Western States Convention down in California. And so the chairman wrote to the board and said, I think it's kind of sad that we don't even have like 1% of the church budget. So they gave us like probably 1% and then moved on. Now we have like probably 5,000 for $6,000 in our budget, which is pretty good. And we just bought a new church van. Our church van was so awful before that, but it was terrible. People had really desecrated it through vandalism and just a lot of things. So we got a brand new van, and it's a 15-passenger, and it's a Ford, something. It's a really good van, though. It's really smooth, it has a nice stereo system. And our last van, somebody had stolen the stereo system. Broken into the van and stolen it. But that's one reason. Another thing is just it was kind of a turnover of the ages too. The kids were just getting older. They graduated and like a new group was coming up. So it's another thing also. But does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyone else have any more questions or comments?
I'm impressed. I'm from Canada, and I don't think we have anything like this.
Yeah.
We have a national convention every 2 years, but that's it. There's nothing regional at all. Other than sometimes, I grew up in Saskatchewan, and there were usually one or two retreats a year for kind of a few different communities in the area to get together and, you know, 100 kids would show up, but there's, like, nothing like all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Well, like I said, our region is way ahead of everyone else.
Yeah.
It really is. Like, every time I go to, like, a national convention, like, this Council of the New Youth Presidents, like, they hear I'm from region, when they go, oh, tell me everything about yourself and about your structure.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, and we do have a constitution. We have a youth constitution, and we have it on the national level, on the regional level, and on the city level, of course, on congregational level, but for our youth. And everyone else has a lot of problems, and so I don't really like going to these national, like, conventions where I represent the city, because I just, like, waste my time there, I think. I mean, I help people, but I don't really get anything out of it. And, The only thing that I brought back from this year, from that convention, was that I said, well, we have to have a business card with our names on it, because we had like a networking party,
mm-hmm.
where we just like went around passing out cards. I didn't have any cards, so yeah. But this is a really positive structure, I think. A lot of things get done. But I know that a lot of adults don't want to include the youth in all they do, because in my congregation, we have a rule that the youth can't vote until they're 18. I mean, and when they're 18, they're out of the church, you know, because they go to college, or they just move, or just out. And so we don't really have our views shared and spoken for. And so it's really too bad. And I had to fight and kick. Actually, not me, but my former youth pastor, because he wanted to have me on a church board, and there had been no youth on it before that.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on the board of administration and operations, and that went pretty well. Now I'm on the youth board, but there's only like two youth on the entire board structure, and there's a lot of boards, so it's just very bureaucratic. They are. Well, does anyone else have any comments?
I have a question for you. I'm looking at your model when I see a congregation that moves up, and we work with the youth, and I'm from Utah,
mm-hmm.
and our next congregation, next Lutheran congregation, is maybe 30 miles away.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not, they don't really feel like a part of the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the region like the Missoula, they were eligible to go to that, they don't really feel like they fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And so how, maybe, is there like a tool, how can you help them feel like they're a whole big part of the Synod and the region?
Yeah, you know, we face the same problem, like, but mm-hmm. because sometimes we just go, like, not really hours, but a long time without seeing another Lutheran church. And all I can say is that we send them stuff to include them, and we even, like, make phone calls to the youth people. Sometimes we'll, I'm not saying that they do that in Region 2, but we do that in Region 1.
And we try to include people as much as possible. I know where they're coming from. I know how they feel. Yeah, how they don't really want to get involved because they're scared. They're scared, and that's, it's understandable. It really is. But I don't really know how I can help you. Yeah. I mean, you could like take one of us, some of this information here, mm-hmm. and just give it back to them. Because I think once they are getting more involved, they will feel like a part of it.
Mm-hmm. I just didn't know if you encountered that and how you... Yeah. Because it's even if you even try to go from congregation to congregation, like there's 3 churches within driving distance. And even to like say, okay guys, let's do something with these 2 other churches, they're like, no. You know, I mean, they're so, mm-hmm. they feel so isolated in, mm-hmm. in their, you know, churches
well,
and stuff.
My church youth group is kind of cliquish. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of churches around us, but they don't want to do anything with them. So they isolate themselves on purpose. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so we have a little different problem, but we have had problems where, you know, congregations are so far out, and most of the time they don't participate because they don't feel part of it. And so we are trying, through the clusters, we are trying to do that. But our cluster system, at least in my synod, is not very well developed.
See, I'm not even aware. See, I'm aware of the region and synod, but not even of the cluster.
Yeah.
Not saying every, I'm well known, you know.
Yeah, but every synod has like a lot of clusters. Mm-hmm. Depending how big it is, like Hawaii probably only has like 1 or 2. But
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's great. That's how I feel too, there. Well, if you can say this was it when I was growing up, but I had no clue. Because even this year, like, when
I was just
talking about some extra fun.
I just turned 18, like 2 weeks ago.
You know, I mean,
you
can't even do that.
I know.
Uh-huh.
Won a whole system of independence.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. You obviously have done leadership stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I enjoy doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so impressed that I feel like this.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Now, you've been the whole week for it.
Yeah, actually, I was here for weekend 3.
Oh!
No, I just
did that. I was on the leadership team for that.
They're the ones who vandalized.
Yeah, they did. Oh my gosh.
I must be candid for
them. Actually, the church youth group, one of them is banned for helping that. The other one is not probation.
If we have anything like this.
Mm-hmm. And one group, the one that is on probation, is has had a record of being banned from a lot of conventions. So.
Yeah,
I really feel awful about it because they had no right mm-hmm. to do any of the stuff they did.
Yeah, that's vandalism.
Right? Yeah.
So, what was I going to say? You've done other sessions here?
I've done this. This is my 3rd one.
This is your 3rd one.
I have 2 more to go.
You present very well.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I was impressed. 18,
I
can
have done that 18. I couldn't do it now.
Not like
very well
organized. What were your other ones on? Because I've been asked.
Okay. Let me see. I have one tomorrow on trust building, and the one after that is development of multicultural ministries. Tomorrow.
But are you still tired? No, I'm
just,
I told you I'm like, relaxing.
This one is kind of going to be different.
Which one? The trust one?
Trust building. It's not going to be as structured as this one. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to use that youth ministry encyclopedia and break into small groups and just give you examples of how to do stuff.